Our scripture passage this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 through 46. A scripture passage that falls within a very rich time of teaching and God's grace that is greater than the sin of the world. There were those who were witness to what was happening here and present there as Jesus was teaching and there, and even before that first coming into Jerusalem during in the scripture passage that we recall during Palm Sunday, that grace was so powerful and powerfully evident, but there were people that were missing it at that time. People that were missing the fact that God was churning here and doing something brand new, and they were missing it. They weren't seeing what was happening right before their eyes. The parable of the wicked tenants is something that follows Jesus cleansing the temple, Jesus cursing the fig tree, the authority of Jesus' question, and the parable of the two sons. And that brings us again to verse 33 through 46. Jesus is speaking here. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They, and the they here in this scripture, are the religious authorities, said to Jesus, "They will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from those from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. One who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. Here ends the reading of the holy word of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please join with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for these words that you've given us. And we thank you for the power behind them. Thank you as well, and most of all, for your Son, Jesus, who we seek not to reject, but rather accept and follow in our lives. It's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray it all. Amen. Everyone loves a good story. And in some cultures, stories are more powerful than others. In fact, in some cultures, stories are how great truths have been communicated and passed down through the ages. I understand that in numerous Native American traditions, storytellers are revered. Storytellers are considered to kind of hold almost a mystical power in the tribe because they convey great truths and they remember stories that tell of the history of the people and tell also of great spirituality that has existed in creation. This is a story that, believe it or not, kind of gets lost, especially whenever we consider what starts out this entire chapter, Palm Sunday. And let's face it, that scripture passage kind of gets muddled as well. What do we think about a Palm Sunday? Palm branches, of course. What do the palm branches mean? We have no idea. We're just supposed to have them and wave them. What about the rest of that chapter? I don't know. Let's get to the empty tomb. We need to pause. We need to consider all of the words of Scripture as God breathing new life into us. If we understand Scripture in that way, then we understand it as an opportunity each and every time, not as an ought to. Reading the Bible, well, I better do it. But rather, what is God going to speak to me? What is God going to grow in me? How is God going to be churning in me as I look at His words, as I take in His grace and His goodness, as I'm reminded of His love? The scripture passage is not one of those warm and fuzzy scriptures. I'll let you know that. It's a story. It's the story of a landowner. It's a story of God and how He works. God is the landowner here. The original tenants are the religious authorities of the time. The vineyard is the land of Israel, the land that He first established. And the son is this is not a pop quiz. We don't have you on tape right now. I won't be getting back to you. Jesus, that's the Son. The image here is very clear, isn't it? What God has provided, a land for His people, a place to live, has provided for them what they need, has given them meaningful work. We are disciples, my friends, brothers and sisters. We are disciples, and so we have meaningful work, and God has given us all these things, and yet we continue to reject Him. Those workers that the landowner sends to collect represent the prophets, represent all of those people that God sent to proclaim the truth of God's nature, work in the lives of those who belong to Him. What happened to them? Killed, stoned, rejected. And the landowner, God, finally says, well, I'm going to send my son because they have to respect him. And what happens to the son? He's rejected and murdered as well. It's kind of a harsh term to use. Rejected and murdered. And yet that's exactly what happened. Not only in the story, but also to God's Son. That's what took place. I want you to be aware of something here. This is not a story that condemns Judaism or the Jews. This is a story that condemns the religious authorities. Those who thought they were holier than thou. Have you ever dealt with somebody like that? Don't elbow the person next to you or point to them, pastor. Holier than thou. This is a story that addresses that sin of thinking that we have all the answers, of thinking that we are the only receptacles of God's grace, of thinking that maybe God would only use us. My friends, God is so much bigger than what we can imagine. God is so much larger and more vibrantly at work than we can ever comprehend. And thank God, and I say that reverently, we don't have to comprehend every way that God is at work. But we do have to take this from the story. We do have to face this question. We really do. How has the Son been rejected in our lives? That is the question that faces us. It's there. It has to be dealt with. It has to be considered. How has the Son been rejected in our own lives? You know, right now, there's something called a new atheism. A new atheism. It's kind of gaining ground. There are authors that are becoming very popular speakers that are saying that, you know, God doesn't exist. They look around at all the proof, God's beauty all around them, God's creation, and they look around, they're living in the world that God has given them, but they still say, there is no God. There are those also that two-time God. The two-time God. Certainly, whenever they really need God, God, come on, come through for me and I promise you I will do, fill in the blank. Then whenever it happens, thanks God, I'll get back to you. Thanks. I'm going to follow this little God now until I need the real God again. This scripture passage, and in fact, that question, how has the Son rejected, speaks to those realities. But we have an answer, don't we? We have an answer, don't we? We have not rejected the Son. We have not rejected the Son. We have accepted Him into our lives and accepted that Savior and said, I take on that name. Whenever I call myself a Christian, I am saying I am a person of Christ and that light is growing in me and I'm going to receive that Son from the Holy Father and I'm not going to reject Him, but I'm going to follow Him now and I'm going to listen to His teachings and I'm going to hear this story and I'm going to be thinking about the things in my life that maybe do reject God and I'm going to hand them over to God and God's going to receive them. And does this all take place in a matter of 5 minutes? Like it just took me to say it right there? No. But God is ready for us to hand over the parts of our lives in which we've turned away from Him, in which we have rejected His Son. And as He fills us, then we can go out into a world that now more than ever needs to be reminded that God is still in control. God is still the landowner. And we all live in His vineyard. Look at somebody right now. Look at somebody right now. Don't look at me for the next 15 seconds or 20. Look at somebody right now and say, God's in control. Look at somebody else. Look at somebody else. Maybe they're dozing off. Maybe they need to be woken up right now. And this is going to be a great thing, a nice wake-up call for them. Go ahead and look them right in the eyes and say, He sent His Son. He sent His Son. I want those who are going to be helping to serve communion to come forward at this time. This morning, we're going to be tasting of God's goodness. And I want you to think about a couple of things this morning as we gather around the table. I want you to think of a couple of things. Whenever Jesus after the scripture passage that we read this morning, gathered with his friends, and it was pretty clear what was happening, where things were headed. He still gathered, and God provided for those people through Christ. And at that table, they could remember, wow, God sent this man, his son, for us, that we would have hope, salvation, eternal life. As you come forward this morning to receive the elements of the body and the blood, you can come forward and simply say, Lord, if there's any way that I've rejected, if there's any way that I've rejected your son, I offer that to you right now. This is an open table. That means God's grace comes to each and every one who comes forward through this table. And God sent his son in the body, broken. Jesus, that son, said, this is my body. It is broken for you. When you receive it, you receive me once again. The body of Christ, broken for the people in the vineyard, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And then he told them, this is my blood shed for you, poured out, so that whenever you receive this, you are being filled with God's grace. This reminds you that your sins have been taken to the cross, and therefore you are called to live as those who belong and are named after that one who went to the cross for us, the Son. God's love poured out for you in this offering of grace. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God. Thanks be to God.